The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello there. I'm back with the Right Stand podcast, and the debate tonight on Tuesday is twofold. The first is a story of a trucker in Jammu and Kashmir who was stopped, assaulted and murdered in cold blood by terrorists. Terrorists who wanted to derail this entire process of development and full integration because it does not suit their narrative. The trucker was from Rajasthan. His name is Sharif Khan. He was carrying a truck full of apples. And this was to ensure that the livelihood of the farmers of Jammu and Kashmir is ensured, because apple orchards and apple farming is one of the key to revenue for a lot of Kashmiris. What is more shocking is, out of the 15 people who have been detained in this, we're given to understand that one of the terrorists was a Pakistani. The conductor of that truck is on the run. But there's a family whose sole breadwinner has been killed, has been murdered. But there is not an oof that has come from the likes of Asaduddin Owaisi, Mehbooba Mufti, Umar Abdullah, and all those who would come out and outrage on every other thing that suits their narrative. Why? Killing of Sharif Khan doesn't suit their narrative, their political narrative. That's how agenda-driven and narrative-driven they are. Communications are restored in Jammu and Kashmir. Where are the valley leaders? Where is their outrage at the murder of a person who was there to ensure livelihood of a farmer in Jammu and Kashmir and a person who was earning his own hard-earned bread? Where is the outrage? Where are those letter writers who are afraid and who are worried about the growing sense of intolerance in the country, and they claim to be conscience keepers of the country? They're conscience keepers of the country, right? Why is their conscience not shaken that somebody has been murdered because he was trying to do what is his job? He was trying to earn an honest day of bread. Where is the anger? Jammu and Kashmir largely has supported the move to abrogate 370, and the government has been working overtime to ensure that the people of Jammu and Kashmir are least inconvenienced. Yes, for 71 days, communications were down, but the landlines, postpaid landlines, are up in Jammu and Kashmir. There was not a single incident that had happened. But the first terror strike comes within hours of communication being restored. And who's killed? For those who espouse the cause of Muslims and minorities in the country, it is a Muslim who has been killed at the hands of terrorists who claim to be doing it all in the name of religion and Islam. What have they done? They have deliberately tried to derail development, derail the earning of livelihood, so that they can continue to frustrate people. Why? This suits the narrative of certain people. And I am more upset that those people who claim to be championing the cause of Kashmiris are silent on this. 10 different tweets from Savarkar to protest, etc., etc., have come in from former chief ministers of Jammu and Kashmir, but not one on this cold-blooded murder, condemning this kind of murder and this kind of an act. The real situation on ground, the farmers are still afraid. They are saying that they are feeling harassed and they are not comfortable. Why? Because of the presence of terrorists, you have security forces. From both sides, there are checks and balances which have to be kept. And who is getting crushed in the middle? The common people of Jammu and Kashmir, who just want peace, they want prosperity, they want to get deliverance money for their hard work, reward for their hard work, the fruits of their labor. What is also shocking, ladies and gentlemen, is the amount of turnout and the integration that has been embraced. More than 60-70% has been in terms of the truck inflow and the inflows that have come in from Jammu and Kashmir into the other markets. And this has shocked a lot of people. This has troubled a lot of people, saying, how can this happen? Because this doesn't suit our agenda. It is all good to outrage, but there also has to be those who claim to be conscience keepers. Where is their conscience today? That's the question we're going to ask tonight on The Right Stand. Because those who stand for development will come out and openly criticize, and they will say this is the reality. They make the common people suffer so that they can push a particular agenda. Debate number two, the Ram Mandir hearing, which is about to conclude perhaps a day earlier, we are given to understand, maybe on the 17th of October. The Muslim Paksh has finished its argument via Rajiv Dhawan on Monday. And there were a lot of questions that were asked, which also irked Mr. Dhawan and the Muslim panel for quite some time, saying, why are you asking us these questions? The Hindu Paksh today is going to respond. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have the representative of the Nirmohi Akhadas, who will also respond. So today, the Hindu Mahasabha, Vishwa Hindu Parishad, they're combined, who represent Ramlala Virajman. They are going to speak about it. And then you also have the Nirmohi Akhada making its representation tomorrow. And we're given to understand by Thursday, the argument should conclude. But some aspects that have come out, some documents, also the evidence book and excerpts from the evidence book of the Uttar Pradesh or the Allahabad High Court judgment of 2010, where certain notings point to a Janmasthan. Think about this. Whether Babur built it or Aurangzeb built it, and when, why, and what conditions they built it, have you ever seen a rasoi ghar and a chabutra in the name of Ram and Sita inside a masjid area? Why is it that at all points in time, despite the structure being a masjid, there was always puja being offered? The court also turns around and says, where is your unilateral right or ownership, title to it, if there is a right to pray given to another community? Why is it that at all points in time, this place is always referred to as Janmasthan? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'll show you cases which have been filed in the local courts in Faizabad by complainants from the 1850s, 1870s, 1880s into the 1900s. At all points in time, this place has always been called Janmasthan. It has never been called the Masjid. How is that possible? Why is that possible? And despite all indications pointing to one direction, will there ever be justice? Do you not believe that if there is a verdict, there will be a victor and a vanquished? There will be somebody who will win and somebody who will lose. Why is consensus being denied? Why is a compromise being denied? Think about all this. And why is it that be it 1770, 1855, 1858, 1903, 1934, 1949, 1982, 1992, or 2019, across about 300 to 400 years, ladies and gentlemen, there has always been a Hindu presence inside what has been titled a Babri Masjid. Why? Who are these Bairagi sadhus and why were they there? Why is the Nirmohi Akhada, a Khalsa Panth, coming out and saying, we have the rights of Shabiyat? Why was there a prayer that allow us to pray here and allow us to build a temple? Who is this? The notes of a gazetteer from the British Raj. And what do they say? They talk about the right-hand bank, the right bank of the Ghogra River. They talk about Ramgarh and the cradle of Ram. And this is not my claim. This is evidence that's been submitted to the courts. Join me tonight. Take the right stand.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.